Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, we are now live here with the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prentice Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. If you're catching this live, tell me where you're from, as we always do. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So today, as you guys and girls can see in the description box, we have a very, very interesting episode. We're going to be talking about mortgage delinquencies. We're going to be talking about the spike in mortgage delinquencies. What does that mean? What does that mean for investors, right? How to look that information up. We're going to look at the digital dollar. There are talks of a digital dollar. If a digital dollar is created, if a digital U.S. dollar is created, what does that mean for the cryptocurrency community in the world? Then we're going to talk about, you know, right now we're in a hot stock splitting season. You had Tesla. They're doing a 5-to-1 split. You have Apple. They're doing a 4-to-1 split, all coming up in the next week or so or two. And we want to know what's the next company that's going to do a stock split. Because we notice after the stock split happens, what happens to the stock? What has been happening to the stock? We're going to talk about Forex. I got a lot of questions that came to me about Forex. What does Forex mean? How does it work? So we're going to talk about Forex. We're also going to look into the COVID-19 vaccinations. That's been a hot topic as well. We had the company, I can't remember the symbol off the top of my head, but it went up 40% due to them getting closer to getting a deal done with the vaccinations. So we're going to talk about that as well. But as you're coming in, let's go ahead and say hi to one another. Let me see what you guys and girls are saying in the comment box. We got Tanisha here from Flint, Michigan. Okay. How you doing, Miss Tanisha Summers? Shamar from Atlanta. Okay, thank you for tuning in, Miss Shamar. We got my man Wayne from Chesapeake, Virginia. Miss Beverly, she's from St. Louis. We have my guy Mario. What's going on, Mario? He said, what's good, King? Howdy, Bay Area. Matt, what's going on, Matt, out there in the Bay Area? What's up, Prince, here from Chesapeake. Okay, we know you're from Pennsylvania. We're going to talk about Forex today. I did get your DM earlier this morning that I saw. We're going to bring up Forex, so we're going to talk about that as well. We got the King Royce Willer. He's coming in from St. Petersburg, Florida. And we got greetings from Conner, North Carolina. All right. Oh, we got some more in here, too. Let's see who else we got. Y'all Minneapolis, Minnesota. Okay. Minneapolis, Minnesota is in the house. All right. But everybody that is in the house, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and
hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon, hit that like, comment, and share button.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's go ahead and get into our first topic. Without further ado, we're going to go into mortgage delinquency spike in the second quarter, which shouldn't be a very big surprise. We talked about this the other day. We talked about the Mortgage Bankers Association that tracks the real estate industry, the mortgage industry, right? When people are not paying their mortgage or people are delinquent on their mortgage, they keep track of that. And what does that mean? You know, if people are not being able to pay their mortgage, what does that mean for the real estate market? Now, we just saw a spike of people buying houses off of the last quarter, right? Off of last month. In July, we saw a spike of people purchasing houses. But that was very, remember we had that question, everybody kept saying, why are we seeing a spike in people buying houses at the same time when we're seeing a spike in unemployment? It really didn't make sense to me. I was like, well, who are buying all these houses if people don't have jobs? So we're going to take a look at this, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to talk about how you can look this up. We're going to go over here to the Mortgage and Bankers Association, MBA.org. I'm sharing my screen here. This is a report they put out today on August 17th, right? August 17th, verbatim, it says the delinquency rate for mortgage loans on a 1-to-4-unit residential property increased to a seasonal adjustment of 8.22 of all loans outstanding at the end of the second quarter of 2020. So they're seeing an 8.22% spike in mortgage delinquency, meaning not paying your mortgages, right? The delinquency rate increased 386 basis points from the first quarter 2020, and it's up 369 quarters for the purpose of the survey report loans. Okay, let's get down to the bread and butter when they're talking about that's hitting. The COVID-19 pandemic has affected some homeowners' ability to make their mortgage payments and could not be more apparent. This could not be more apparent, right? The nearly 4% point jump in the delinquency rate was the biggest quarterly rise in history. The biggest quarterly rise in history of people being delinquent on their mortgages. The second quarter results also marked the highest overall delinquency rate in 9 years. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been in the bull market for 10 years. So now we're seeing people become delinquent on their mortgage payments, right? So right here, this is a report. I'm not going to read the whole report. I wanted to highlight those things. Let's just go right here. This is where how the economy works together. You're seeing the job market has improved over the past 3 months with the unemployment rate falling for the third straight month from the peak of 14% to 10%. 10% unemployment in July is still high. The bright spot in the jobs picture is tempered by numerous uncertainties, including ambiguous statuses of enhanced unemployment benefits and, you know, the stimulus measures, the surge in COVID-19 cases, the reentrainment openings or whatnot. All right. So they're saying we're seeing the resurgence of COVID-19 cases. That's what's hurting the unemployment numbers. Also, we're seeing that certain states not reopening and reopenings or whatnot. That's what's causing the unemployment or whatnot in the GDP. So all this right here, they're talking unemployment, but the big thing I want to bring up is that we are seeing unemployment numbers at 10%, how they are affecting real estate. So you're seeing people in the second quarter, which is April, May, and June, we saw that they saw an 8% increase in people being delinquent on their mortgage payments. Now, I don't think people are delinquent on their mortgage payments because they want to be. It's probably due to the effect of COVID-19, which is kind of happening. But we haven't seen foreclosures because you're talking about the FHA mortgage loans. Those people are having hard times paying back their mortgages, right? Why is that happening? Of course, everybody wants to call me at one time, but not right now. Why is that happening? So we're kind of seeing how the mortgage delinquency spike. Now, how do you take advantage of this as an investor? Now, we all know that you can bet against the real estate market in Delta, Roma, Victor. I was very bearish, meaning I was thinking the real estate market was going to see a significant downturn in the beginning of the year. And I was very big on that, mostly due to the fact of what was going on. Unemployment, people was unemployed. We've seen all these unemployment starting to happen. And I knew, I said, well, if people losing their jobs, how are they going to be able to pay their bills, right? But we haven't seen foreclosures because part of the stimulus package, they put in forbearances, right? And forbearances meaning that you cannot foreclose on anybody, right? That's what the stimulus package said for a couple months. If you had a government-backed mortgage. Now, we're seeing a delinquency. When we see a delinquency, this could be a leading indicator of what's going to happen in the economy. How can you yourself profit off of information like this? Is that this could be information you could use in seeing a downturn and possible people buying new homes. But it's kind of floating. I want to give you guys and girls an idea on this. It's kind of floating because we just saw a spike in purchase applications on homes. I don't know who's buying all these homes, but people are buying homes during the season. So we saw real estate rebound, but now we're seeing people who already have their mortgages become delinquent. But this goes hand in hand with unemployment. But that's something to be very tuned into because this could be a very good sign of the economy. Why are we seeing a spike in people not being able to pay their mortgage? Which common sense would tell you, you're looking at double-digit unemployment. We have a gloomy future. COVID's probably going to ride out for the rest of 2020. It's affecting the airline industry. It's affecting every industry pretty much across the board. So now, let me see. Now, the next topic we're going to get into the digital dollar next. But before we get into the digital dollar, let's see what you guys and girls are saying in the comments. Kendrick, what's going on? He said, Prince, what's going on, Kendrick? Thanks for tuning in. You got it. MBA.org, Mortgage and Bankers Association. This is a report they put out today. I like to keep up to date. And you can sign up to receive this data come to you so you can have the interpretation of what's going on in the real estate industry. You can see what's going on in real estate. Also, you got to go to census.gov to get building permit data for your state, your area. But I like to keep a little eye on, okay, people are not paying mortgages. People are unemployed. What does this mean for investors? Because if people can't pay mortgages, Are they out here buying new clothes and buying new food? Not new food, but going out to eat, other things that spur the economy, right? So you see things like this. When I see this, this opens up the pathway for companies like Home Depot and Lowe's to start to see more and more traffic. Like they reported the other day, they saw more and more foot traffic. People are going to be fixing up their homes. People spending more time at home. They're probably going to be fixing up what they have instead of acquiring something new during these uncertain times. Look at, I don't know who the Facebook user is, but you're on top of it. Look at you. You got it. Census.gov backing me up. What's your name, Facebook user? And where you from? Next topic, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into, we're going to talk about a digital dollar. This is a question I always have for people, very big cryptocurrency people. If you, as you know, I'm not a very big cryptocurrency person, mainly due because I'm not smart enough to really understand it. And if I don't understand it, I just go off to something that I do understand, right? Not that I don't want to learn anything new, but when it's too complicated, I think that over time, the cream will rise to the top. Just like in the marijuana industry, I'm not smart enough to pick the right marijuana industry. We're going to get into the COVID-19 vaccination as well, but I can't pick who's the new guy. But over time, once everybody get through shaking this stuff out, you're going to realize the top companies in the marijuana industry over time. Now, the next thing, the digital dollar. Why is a digital dollar a big deal? When I asked all my cryptocurrency enthusiasts and my people, I asked them, I said, well, what if the government, I've been saying this for years, what if the government creates, the U.S. government creates its own digital dollar? It's my belief the dollar is already digital, right? Think about it. You can operate just fine by using no cash. For prime example, somebody right now can, during my live broadcast, they on Facebook, I think you can send stars. On YouTube, you can donate to people. You can donate to people. You can send money via Facebook. You could donate people on YouTube. You can donate to something. It would go directly into my account. I can, as it hits my account, I can leave here, go get a pizza, not touching cash at all. All digitized. All, everything is digitized. Boom. This person, I can send you $5 on Facebook. That $5 will go into your bank account. You can go to your nearest bar, buy you a drink, go home without touching $1. And I know they're saying the coin shortage is due to employees not working, not making coins, but I believe coins are going out of style. Who's really using coins? What adult is walking around, average adult is walking around carrying a pocket full of change? I mean, I have change, but it's in my cup holder. I have change, but it's probably sitting on my desk, a counter somewhere, but I don't really like, oh, let me make sure I got this change in my pocket. If I'm driving through a drive-thru and they say, hey, that's going to be 11 cent or 5 cent, I may just reach over into my console and pay for it or whatever I'm doing. But most of the time, I don't carry change. I don't think the volume, and what I mean by the volume, the flow of change is old school. Nobody's really doing that anymore. So I believe the dollar is more digital than something. Now, do I believe it's a cryptocurrency? Of course not. It's not a blockchain, anything like that. But we're already on a digital dollar. The dollar is very digital as we see right now. And something I knew for a long time, it's something in competition, right? If you create something, let's take me for example. Let's say if I create something and CNN Money really loves it. They can either, one, bring me on board, or two, they can just copy what I'm doing and steal it. For prime example, you see that with Facebook and TikTok. TikTok came out, TikTok started to explode. What did Facebook do? Facebook created a version of TikTok inside of Instagram called Reel. When you seen Periscope start to go live, you can go live via Periscope. Facebook started letting you go live. When Zoom became a very big thing, Facebook started letting you go in Zoom. That's what big companies do. Facebook, remember when Facebook tried to buy Snapchat for $3 billion a couple years ago and Snapchat said no? Guess what Facebook did? Facebook turned around and created, they hired the people that created the filters for Facebook, for Snapchat, and hired them inside of Instagram. So we see this all the time. When I saw Bitcoin come out, and it's 1,000 cryptocurrencies, I had friends that created cryptocurrencies and friends that very big cryptocurrency enthusiasts, nothing wrong with that. And they were like, man, this is so good. It's a new age of this or that. I said, hey, you know what's going to happen? They said, what? I said, I think the government is going to see that. They're going to catch on to it, and they're going to turn around and make the dollar digital. That's all. And I said, what's going to happen to the value? And I asked this on my Instagram today, what's going to happen to the value of the other cryptocurrencies if the dollar becomes digital? What's going to happen? Right now, people say Bitcoin, but inside the cryptocurrency world, it's 1,000 cryptocurrencies. You know, you got Ethereum, you got Litecoin, you got this coin and that coin, VM, you got Venezium. People walk by me every day. Hey, you know, you heard this new cryptocurrency? It's so many of them, right? How can you pick one? I know there's a mutual fund out there. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's JBTC. Don't quote me on that. But it tracks the cryptocurrency world. But what would happen to the value of crypto of the other cryptocurrencies, all these cryptocurrencies that are out there, if the dollar becomes digital? Would they increase in value? Would they decrease in value? Would they stay the same? Would it push the whole industry value up? I don't know, but I think that we can do it. I always kind of assumed that eventually the dollar would become maybe not a cryptocurrency, but I knew it would be digitized because we're halfway there. Now, why am I talking about this, ladies and gentlemen? Am I just pulling this out of my behind? No. Right here, ladies and gentlemen, what I have pulled up in front of you is from the Federal Reserve.gov. This is from the Federal Reserve.gov, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to read the press release they put out. I think this was a couple days ago, 2-3 days ago. It's on here. So yeah, August 13th, which was Thursday. They put this out on Thursday. And it says right here, Federal Reserve highlights research. This is coming from, so y'all won't think I'm pulling up something. This is from the Board of Governors, from the Federal Reserve. You know, the people that print our money, create our money, all that good stuff like that, control the interest rates. This is what they said on August 13, 2020. The Federal Reserve highlights research and experimentation undertaken to enhance its understandings of the opportunities and risk associated with a central bank digital currency. So the Federal Reserve on Thursday highlighted the research and experimentation undertaken to enhance its understanding and the opportunities and risk associated with a central bank digital currency. This initiative complemented a board set of payments related to innovation projects currently underway within the federal government system. Here we go. This is quote unquote, given the dollar important role, it is essential that the Federal Reserve remain on the frontier of research and policy development regarding a central bank digital currency, said the Federal Board Governor Lee Brain. I can't say his name. I'm horrible with names. Like other central banks, we are continuing to assess the opportunities and challenges as well as the useful case for a digital currency as a complement to cash and other payment options. Is cash going to go away? No. Has checks gone away? No. Checks are still here, but who are writing checks? I think dollars are going to be like that. So right here on August 13th, this is coming from the Federal Reserve. They're experimenting with creating a digital currency. Now, before we get into it, let me see what y'all say in the comment box. Healthy said, finally, finally, right? Okay, Concord, North Carolina. Sharika, I think that's right now you say your name. Thank you, you're on it. She's the one that's been hitting up all the good stuff. Said, Bitcoin is the mecca of crypto. Yes, it was the first one. Kendra said, LOL, then Zuckerberg played dumb during the hearing when they asked him about, did he copy the company? Of course, man. That's what the big boys do. Big fish eat little fish, especially small times like this, right? So big fish eat small fish in little times. Like, that's what big companies do. If you create something good and they like it, first they're going to try to buy from you. If they can't buy from you, they're going to copy you and put you out of business, or at least attempt to. Encrypted money will go insane if the dollar goes digital. People love their privacy. So that's true. Now, my belief or my thought process is if the dollar goes digital and you have all these other cryptocurrencies out there, why utilize Litecoin when I can utilize the digital dollar. Now, granted, I know what everybody's going to say. Litecoin is private. You can't trace it. You can't pay this. You can't do that or whatnot. Why use dollars, right? What would happen to the value of everybody else? Are people going to jump somewhere else? Oh, look at her. She is on it. All right. She is on it. That is the article right here, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about. The Federal Reserve highlights research. The Federal Reserve is experimenting. They had already been talking about it. They just did official press release on Thursday saying, hey, I saw this over the weekend when it was saying, hey, we want to experiment with a digital dollar. We're looking to get it. Got to think about it. The Federal Reserve has an unlimited amount of money. They can build any type of blockchain, which I do believe in blockchain. They can build anything. They can hire the best crypto encrypted people in the world, right? So they're definitely looking at this and they're looking at the risk and associated. They may go down that path. Will this make the crypto world blow up or will this make the crypto world go down because everybody will go to the digital dollar? For prime example, when let's say for prime example, this happens all the time. You have a company like Snapchat comes out with a great idea. Snapchat is a new company. It's kind of building this momentum, but you have the company that's already big like Facebook. Facebook turns around. If they copy what the smaller company is doing, it automatically hurts the value of whatever they're doing. Take me for example, right? If you really know me, you really follow me. You guys and girls know that I've been on this podcast thing for years, and I've written children's books on financial literacy from insurance to credit and investing. Bank of America could easily, why would Bank of America want to do business with me? They could easily take what I'm doing, copy it, make it 10 times better, get better distribution, get way more advertising, way more marketing dollars, and just push me right out the way, act like Prince Dykes never existed. That's what the big boys could do. They could come to me and say, hey, Prince, you know what? We like this whole Wesley Learns thing you're doing here. How about you join us over here at Bank of America? And I say, no, I don't want to join you guys. They said, well, we'll give you $5 million to do it. I say, no, I don't want to do it. They're like, okay, cool. They're going to go back in their office. They're going to create exactly what I'm doing, 10 times better, way more money behind it. That $10 million they're going to give me, they're going to turn around and put that $10 million into marketing my copycat. That's what they do, ladies and gentlemen. We know this. So, welcome to capitalism. Let me see what y'all say in the comments. Kendrick said, people think the government would allow it to be untraceable. People crazy, they think the government would allow it to be untraceable. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, when people think they hide, I'm telling you something right now, ladies and gentlemen. Anything that's on the internet can be traced. Some people got a phone. We walking around with a traceable device every day. Some people got a phone and they thinking, oh, because I downloaded this app, nobody can see my text messages. Are you kidding me? Anything that has an IP address, my laptop, my phone, you got a smart TV in your house. All of that stuff is man-made and can be hacked and traced. I don't believe that. I ain't buying it. It just depends on, why do you think Windows computers have more hackers than Apple computers? Is it because Apple products are better? No. It's because more people are on Windows. And if I'm a hacker and I'm studying to break into a system, I'm probably going to study and break into a system that more people are on. To get your information, it all depends on how bad somebody wants it. Like right now, right? A lot of people may not know my address. If you look for my address hard enough, you'll find me. You want my phone number bad enough or my personal email bad enough, you'll find it. It's not that hard. Somebody want to waste the time to do all that. It all depends on how big or how bad somebody wants you. If I was a stalker and I was trying to find Kendrick Taylor and where he was at, I'm pretty sure if I looked hard enough and dug hard enough, I would find it. So anything... Most time when things have not been hacked, some people think that, oh, I'm not hacked because I'm great, because nobody cares. Nobody cares strong enough yet. Traceable headlamp with a strap. Sold my spy. Got my first share of Google. Also, check out XPR for cryptos. We might get into that later on in the show. We have a little time. Congratulations. You sold your spy. You got Google. Not a bad deal. You sold your spy. Why not jump into the NASDAQ? Google is inside of the NASDAQ. I believe each creature, Healthy Thought says, I believe each crypto will fluctuate just like the stocks. Fluctuate in a good up way or down way. Keon says, so starting out, Prince, who should I look at right now? I have a small portfolio. If you're looking for, I'm going to tell you right now, if it was me, you have a small portfolio, you're looking 10 to 20 years in the future. Right now, the hottest, I would get you on the index, and the hottest index right now is the NASDAQ. I would build my portfolio at the bottom. I believe in a core satellite position of a portfolio. You have the core of your portfolio is going to be mostly controlled by indexes. And then the second layer of your portfolio will be more like individual stocks. If you're going 10 years or longer, maybe you like growth stocks, maybe technology growth stocks. And then the very high percentage of your portfolio would be your high risk stuff. Maybe you may do some option trading inside of it. Maybe you may try to jump into a small unprofitable company. So for a prime example, it would be like NASDAQ, then Apple, then Uber. NASDAQ, that's a big technology-based index. This has been on the best performing index of the year, followed by a good growth company like an Apple, a good healthy financial company, right? Yes, you have plenty of other like Teslas out there. You got NIO out there. But when you look at the sheets, Microsoft and Apple, those are good technology growth companies. Don't got to be a rocket science to figure that out. Your highest risk could be things like you may like a little crypto. If you like a little crypto, unprofitable, like look what Uber and Lyft is going through. Uber and Lyft just may die off, right? If they can't beat this case in California, right? So that's what you have to look at. That's what I would kind of build my portfolio. You have your core, and you use a satellite, you use cash to jump into new things, to jump in and out of new things as they come along. Hopefully that helps out. Jesus, Alexa and Siri, hear and see anything. I don't know what you mean by that. I know what Alexa and Siri is, but, you know. But, yeah, if you got Alexa and Siri, you can tell her to play the Investor Show. You can check out the Investor Show. He says, sorry, I meant XRP for crypto. That's what you said, right? Yeah, XRP for cryptos. Okay. No problem. Now, next, let's go into our next topic. Our next topic is going to be the COVID vaccine. We got a company today that jumped up 40%, and something my wife told me. She said, Prince, why don't we just invest into the companies that are doing the vaccines, right? And I'm like, you're 100% correct. I would love to invest into the company that's going to come up with the vaccine. The problem is everybody is trying to create a vaccine, and I don't know who's going to win the fight. Everybody and their mama. The only thing I can think of is maybe get a biotech ETF, maybe a biotech ETF that's biology and technology placed together, maybe an ETF that tracks that. PIL is a bullish ETF on the pharmaceuticals, which is PILL, which is Papa India Lima Lima. But I'm not smarter to know who's going to create it. Every day is somebody new. Is this company, then it's Bill Gates' company, and then it's that company, and then a company may create it, then who's going to be able to get all the safety, and who's going to be approved, and if a vaccination came out tomorrow, nobody's going to be lining up around the line to get it. People are going to wait. They got to go through all these tests and approval. Is it safe? Is it good for people with this disease and that disease or whatnot? And if that makes it, now what you're going to have happen, right? You got to wait. So I can't pick the company. I don't know who's going to come up with it. I wish I known the company that's going to come up with the COVID-19 vaccination, but I don't know. Every 2 or 3 months, a company would just take off 10, 20, 30% just because they got close. Even Kodak almost took off 1,000% just because of they jumped into the vaccination game. So I'm not smart to pick the right one as of yet, right? Now, the next thing we're going to go into Forex. And our next topic after that is going to be the next big company to do a stock split. So ladies and gentlemen, right here, Forex. You have Forex. I've gotten a lot of inquiries about Forex. Prince, what do you think about Forex? My friend called me about Forex. They're multi-level marketing companies that do Forex. people said if I sign up for Forex, they'll just send me the signal and all I got to do is just trade and make the money, all this stuff like that. Prince, what do you think about Forex? Ladies and gentlemen, Forex is foreign exchange. I have traded Forex before way back in the day. I just dabbled in it. Wasn't my cup of tea. It was a 24-hour market, and it's a foreign exchange, right? You're trading currencies against each other. All the currencies, I think it's like 11 currencies, and they're paired against each other. Like the dollar, don't quote me on this, but it's like the dollar is paired with the pound. The yen is paired with some other currencies or whatnot. But people trade currencies. It's a 24-hour market. It stays open all day. You can trade all day, but it has certain activities throughout the time. So you essentially are almost like a day trader. You're trading every day. You're moving pips. You know, you're buying it. And you got to know how to use stop losses. You got to know how to use stops, because if that thing gets to dropping and you can't stop it from dropping, that's it. See, the thing I like about it, when I buy a stock, the most money I can lose is what I put in. That's investments I like. I don't want to be owing nobody. So you have to know how to use stops in it. Now, when it comes down to a business model, now, if you want to be a day trader, if you want to give it a try, know that it's like anything else with trading. If you trade it every day, you have a 90% chance of losing, but you have a 5% chance to be consistently winning. Yes, you will win some. I don't want people to DM me, man, my cousin said he made this, or this person made this. Of course, you will make money. Just like if you continuously buy stocks, you will make money, right? It's just that with Forex, when I see all these groups and companies that come out and say, hey, just sign up and we're going to send you all these signals or you're going to be fine, something sounds crazy to me, because if it was just that easy, everybody and their mama would be on it, getting signals and just making a crap ton of money, right? So I'm not a big fan on that. You know, I'm not a big fan on getting inside of groups. I'm not a big fan on stuff like that, because I believe if it was that easy, any and everybody would do it, right? I mean, come on. I mean, they're literally telling, I've seen people propose, hey, you just sign up. We're going to tell you when to buy and sell. You're going to make a crap ton of money. Do I think it's that easy? I don't think so. Right. So I'm not big into it myself. I'm not saying that it's bad. Forex is a real thing. It's not a scam. Forex has been around forever. It's just that people are using some skeptical business models around it. Can you use it in trade currencies and make money? Yes, you can. But you can't. I wouldn't do it. This is not me. Somebody who's new. No, I would stick with traditional investing. And this would be something that I would try to end. Because you got to think about it. The guy who just commented and said, Prince, I had SPY, I sold my SPY and brought Google, or I had the NASDAQ, that person, that's more of a winning strategy. Now, with a little bit of your time, you want to give it a little try, give it a little try. There's nothing wrong with trying something new, but just know that this is only for the riskiest part. Take me for example, mistakes I've made in life. One of the mistakes I made was getting ahead of myself as a young investor. I came into the game. I saw TV shows like Shark Tank. Oh, man, I want to be a judge on Shark Tank. Man, I want to do deals like they're doing. But you have to work your way up as an investor to invest in the startups. So I come off the block thinking I'm going to invest into these new startups. Now, realizing that that's not for the young investor. That's for the big investors. When those guys get on the show, they can throw $20,000, $100,000 to a new venture. And if it works, good. If it doesn't work, because they made their money somewhere else through good businesses. So when you're a young investor, you buy good businesses, you use good business practices, you use good common sense. Then when you get to a certain point, then you can say, all right, well, now I can go try to do this. You don't walk in and say, hey, I want to make a living. Well, I'm not telling you what to do, but it's my philosophy. I'm not going to walk into a casino and say, man, I want to make my living off of a casino, knowing that I have a strong possibility of losing. I would say, hey, if you're trying to make a living, either you need to start a business or you need to go get a traditional job. And then while you have your traditional job on your night, shout out to Tyra Jackson, who coined the phrase duopreneur, like entrepreneur, but dualpreneur, or side gigs. You don't wake up like one day, if I just want to be a stand-up comic, I'm not just going to be like, you know what, I want to be a stand-up comic. Boom. Quit my day job, quit everything I was doing, and just go be a comic, knowing I have mortgages to pay, knowing I have obligation, I have a wife, I have a son, I got a family going on, stuff like that. No, you know what I would do? I would moonlight. In my all time, I may try to look comedy route. Over time, then I would slowly phase out my job. So that's how I look at the world of Forex. If I was a brand new investor, I just wouldn't jump straight into Forex. I would first start with traditional investing, then I would moonlight a little bit on the Forex side of the house. Hopefully that makes sense. That's just my take. Let me see what y'all say in the comments. Dervin Smith, he says, hello, everyone, checking in from Honolulu, Hawaii. What's going on, Dervin Smith? Kid just said, LOL, get your feelings hurt dealing with biotechs learned the hard way 7 years ago. Now, that's the thing with biotechs and pharmaceutical companies. This is how they trade. They consolidate, they're flat, then all of a sudden they'll just jump up and they can discover something, the cure for cancer, and boom, they just go up, I mean, literally like overnight. And then, the test failed and they may go back flat. So they like flatline, jump, then do this. Kind of like what gold does with pharmaceuticals. I'm like, I can't pick the right one. Now, if I worked in that industry, like some of you guys and girls have a competitive advantage. If I worked in that industry, if I liked that industry, then yes. And I knew something and I felt I had an edge in that market, that I knew something more than everybody else, then you invest into that if you knew that industry better than everybody else. Not just reading a couple articles and whatever or what you heard. If you truly know that business because you work there or you got friends there or you read financial documents and you knew something about the company, then go for it, right? Because some people are pumping and dumping those companies. Companies will go out pumping dumps. If you don't know what those are, people will buy $1 million worth of the stock and then they will spend another $500,000 on marketing and advertising and pushing it to everybody else. And then you'll go out there and get it because you heard there was a hot thing. Then that person who paid that $1 million, they sell it. And then they made $3 million or whatnot. All right. Now let's get into our next topic. The next big company to do a stock split. Why is this important to investors? Because we know usually, not all the time, when big companies split, their stock goes on a run. Tesla has been on a run ever since it announced this 5-to-1 split. It went from 14. Now, you ladies and gentlemen know who really follow me. Company, you would know that I would talk about investing in Tesla back in January. I've been talking about investing in Apple. My company that's not doing well is Uber, right? Uber got into political risk. That's a part of investing, political risk. Here I am with Uber thinking, okay, I'm watching their track record. This story is making sense. Then all of a sudden, a California judge come out to disrupt their whole business model, right? And we're going to see how Uber is going to fight through this. That's the risk you deal with when you deal with a young, unprofitable company in a new sector. They have growing pains, just like Facebook had growing pains and still going through growing pains, being the number one person in a new sector. Facebook came out, it was some kiddie thing that everybody was playing with. Now Facebook is getting called up to Congress because it's too doggone big and it's too important. You got Joe Biden in his basement running a presidential campaign using Facebook ads. That's how much the world has changed. How many times I turn the TV on to Fox and watch Fox Business? Little to none, because I watch everything from my from social media. Y'all give me one second. One second here. Let me switch out my microphone.
All right. There we go. All right. So now we've seen Apple has been going on a run. Apple was going on a nice run after it announced its stock split all the way until what happened? Until Fortnite Epic Games kind of came out and started calling. Facebook came out too and said, man, you know, you guys are charging a lot in these stores. You're taking 30% of these people's profits in this pandemic. So ever since then, Apple's now been cooling off. Who do I think is going to be next? Drum roll, please. Amazon. I wish I had some big graphics to be like, Amazon. And the stream rattles, stuff like that. But I ain't got there yet. Maybe one day. But I believe Amazon is the next one to do a stock split. Everybody knows Amazon has Amazon trades for $3,000 right now. Amazon trades for $3,000. And Amazon has done stock splits before, way back in the day, way before I got into the world of investing. Back in, they split two times in 1999, and they split one time in 1998. 1998, they did a 2-for-1 split. 1999, they did a 3-for-1 split. And then January 1999, they did a 3-for-1. And in September 1999, they did a 2-for-1 split. So the stock is split a couple times, but that was over 20-something years ago, and they haven't split yet. Now the stock is costing $3,000. It's out of the price range of a lot of people. So why won't Amazon split? I haven't seen, you know, in order to do a stock split, it has to be something. Usually companies announce their stock splits right around the earnings season. The earnings won't come out for Amazon until another 3 months from now. So we're looking at July, August, September, October, around October timeframe, late on this year, they could have a conversation to possibly do a stock split, because if Amazon splits, that's going to make their stock more valuable. They said they did a 5-to-1 split. 3,000 divided by 5. I don't know the exact math on that. What is that about? What? 5. I don't know, about $500-$600 the stock may go down to, right? Maybe $600 a piece. Now the stock is more affordable. Imagine if Amazon went from $3,000 to $600. Now it opens itself up. The demand for the stock can increase, because a lot of people would have Amazon in their portfolio, but they can't. It's just too much. It costs $3,000. Some people are like, whoa, that takes up a lot of money. I can get a couple shares of Microsoft. I can get a couple shares of Google for now, because you know, Google's a Facebook. I can get Facebook. I can get Microsoft. I can get Amazon. Ladies and gentlemen, and guess what? Yeah, not guess why, but the reason why I eyeballed them, when Congress called Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Apple all to Congress to talk about antitrust, that's when I knew these companies are the companies for the future. I said this again. I say it again. Why did Congress call Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google all to Congress? Because those companies are too powerful. Way powerful. That's why they call them. Let me see what y'all say in the comments. Thanks, Big Time. He said, thanks, Big Time, for your input on Forex Prince. Antonio, thank you, man. Hopefully that helped you out. A lot of people have been asking that question. So when I saw your DM, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that on the show tonight. I'm going to talk about people jumping into Forex. When you're going down the world of investing, it's just like when you're going down the purpose of your life. Take me with finance. I've been doing this for, I got my MBA in 2012, and once I finished my MBA in 2013 is when I started my Facebook page and my YouTube, started podcasting in 2016, published my first book in 2015, published my first app in 2014. And I'm saying all this to say, on this long journey, it had not been a fast journey. There's been a lot of other bells and whistles that would have liked to push me in other directions. Things that looked way more promising that pushed me away other directions. Things that got me off my square. In the investing world, I noticed all that trading you're doing back and forth. People are day trading and trading every single second. And when you stretch it out over 10 years, somebody who just purchased the index is beating 90% of day trading. Somebody who just purchased Apple is beating 90% of the day traders. Somebody who had just purchased Microsoft, it's beating a Home Depot, companies you're using every day. It sounds so simple, but it's so hard. Antonio, I know you're a veteran. I know you're in the military. I know you know about discipline. And on that world of investing, you will find it the hardest thing is to be disciplined, to do the same thing over and over and over. Because along your path, things are going to be dingled. Forex is going to be dingled. Penny stocks are going to be dingled. Why do people buy penny stocks? Because they're cheap. Why don't people buy Amazon? Because it's expensive. That's why Amazon, if you're listening, split the stock and stop playing. I need to get some call options on Amazon, right? So, but while you're doing this, there's going to be so many of the enticing things that can throw you off your investing journey. Antonio, people ask me all the time, Prince, in the military, they offer me a 401k plan, a TSP plan. I know you know things out there that can make more money than a TSP plan. I said, yes, you're right. But why don't I tell young service members to get away from the TSP plan and go invest in Tesla. I don't do that because I know most people in the military are somewhere between 18 and 25, and they're not going to, they're not going to be disciplined enough to keep investing over time. Look at the retirement plans. Why do you think 401ks were created? People was living too long, ladies and gentlemen. That was hurting companies. Somebody worked from Ford, they retired from Ford at 60, and then they live until their 90. People retire from the military at 38 and live until their 90. That hurts companies. So companies come out with a brilliant way of saying, hey, how about we create a 401k plan, you invest for your future, and we'll match you. They're doing that because they know half y'all ain't going to invest for your future anyway. Human nature is not going to invest over time and look at 20 years down the line what something's going to add up to. That's what's going to hurt, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully that helped you, Antonio. Wesley said, yes, I believe Amazon will be next. How can you benefit from that? Wait until Amazon has a down day. There will be a day when the NASDAQ is down. When Amazon goes down, you can buy calls on Amazon. Because when Amazon announced their split, this is no inside information. I'm not telling nobody what to do. This is not a recommendation. If it was to split, Amazon is going to go on a run just like his brothers and sisters. Most stocks usually, not all the time, but usually they go on a run because the millennials, the Robin Hood people, the people who purchase Robin Hood, not a bad thing, they're looking for cheap stocks. Amazon, cut your price down. Stop playing. All right. So everybody that's in here, I only see it's like 35 people in here that's live. I'm only seeing six thumbs up.
Y'all hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button.
Y'all go ahead and stop playing. Hit the like, comment, subscribe button. Well, some of y'all are commenting here. This North Carolina, Concord, North Carolina is only 600. She was talking about my math earlier. If they did a 5-to-1 stock split, that means the price of Amazon is going from 3,000 to 600, which real estate investors, people can move money into Amazon now. It's more affordable. Thank you. Can't say her name, but I know she's out in Concord. Think she's a female. Excuse me if you are a male. I'm sorry. Some people, I see their name, they're like, oh, Prince, that's not, I'm a male, I'm a female. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just guessing by a username. Freddie B, what's going on from Langston, Illinois? Thanks for checking in, Freddie B. Thanks. Maurice. What's going on, Maurice? Great family picture there, too. He says, great show. When Tesla announced they split, two first thing that popped into my head was Amazon split. 5-to-1 or 6-to-1 split for Amazon would be great for investors and the company. Pretty sure they're getting some pressure on it. Microsoft could be another one too now. But Microsoft is only at $200, so it's not that crazy. When you look at that high stock, look at what Warren Buffett did for Berkshire. He never split his stock. His stock is like 300,000. I think Berkshire Class A is like $300,000. And Berkshire Class B is like, he just created Class B. He said, instead of splitting, I'll just create a Class B. So, yes. Thanks. Thank you, Mars, for tuning in. King Carter, I tried to hit that thumbs up again. Appreciate it. King Carter's in the house. Joyce, that's why I do it when I first come in. Appreciate it. Thank you. When you first come in, you hit the like button. Appreciate it. Thank you. Concord, North Carolina, my home city, baby. Okay, so we got two people in from Concord, North Carolina. Nice. I don't think I've ever been to Concord. I've driven through North Carolina. I know I've driven through Charlotte a few times. I never stopped. Nothing really drew me to Charlotte. But I've been some everywhere, to be honest with you. How much of a run could Amazon go on considering they're already so expensive? Think about it. Before Apple split, Apple is at $400 and it's doing a 4-to-1 split. People forgot in 2017, Apple was $700 before it did a 7-to-1 split. Apple was $700 before it did a 7-to-1 split. Investors forgot about that. And people was asking me, man, you think Apple's going to go over 300? You think Apple's going to go over 400? Of course, it was $700 when it was even worth this much. So now it's worth way more. Of course, I felt it was going to go to $700. So Amazon, you're saying that it's so already so expensive. How much can it go? I don't look at the price of the company. I look at the business. Maurice, let's take it from Warren Buffett. Concord. How did you say Concord? I need you to look this up for me. What was Warren Buffett saying on looking at the price of a stock? When you invest, the last thing you should look at is the price of the stock. It's important. When you're evaluating, the last thing you should look at is the price. Price is what you pay. Value is what you get. Looking at the price alone is not investing. So first, when I look at Amazon, it's a great business. Amazon business model is thriving. Why is Amazon business model thriving? Because of the COVID-19 has killed off a lot of Amazon's, me and my wife went and bought a dining room table the other day, right? And we went out to go to a furniture company and we brought the dining room, we sat down, walked around the dining room. And long story short, while we was driving to this store, we passed by the mall and the mall looked like a ghost town. And my wife made the comment of why do you even waste your time going to the mall? Most of the time, they don't have what you want. They don't have your size. They got to order it. Take, for example, we brought a dining room table, and they said it's going to take us a month before it shows up to my house, right? So a lot of times, I wear a size 15 shoe, right? I don't even waste my time going to Foot Locker. I don't waste my time going to anything, right? Because when I go into Foot Locker, all it does is hurt my feelings. I go to Finish Line. I'm like, oh, I like this shoe. Y'all got it? No, we don't have it. We can order it for you. Oh, no, it doesn't come in that size. I'd rather go on to Amazon, pick out my shoe size, pick out the type of shoe I'm looking for, and then let it tell me what do they have in my size. So I'm saying all this to say, look at the business model. Do you believe Amazon is a great company? Right? Look at it. Like a virtual assistant. Look at this. Price is what you pay. Value is what you get, Maurice. I'm looking at the value of the company. Looking at Amazon. Would I like to own a piece of Amazon? When you look at retail and e-commerce, Amazon also owns Whole Foods as well. Right now, it's one of the best in the business. Nobody's going to the mall no more. E-commerce is the way everybody's consuming everything. Why wouldn't I want to be attached to the number one e-commerce in the world right now? And they have a low overhead. There are no Amazon stores. Now they just have delivery centers. Right? Where are we going here? Proud Dad from Atlanta, Georgia. He said, I'm late, but I'm here. What's up, Prince? What's going on, Proud Dad, down in Atlanta? I wanted to say, we could do a little quick recap. We talked about today, we went over the mortgage delinquency spike. We seen a mortgage delinquency spike for the second quarter. The Mortgage Bankers Association, the digital dollar. We talked about the Federal Reserve announced they are looking and they're starting an initiative and research into starting a digital dollar. What do you think is going to happen to the other cryptocurrencies if we start a digital dollar? So we went to the federalreserve.gov. The next thing we talked about was the next big company that's going to do a stock split. We just got through talking about it, that it's probably going to be Amazon next. And that could be a bullish trend after that is announced. We talked about Forex. People hit me up asking me about Forex all the time. And we talked about the COVID-19 vaccination that everybody's infatuated with getting inside of. Right? Here we go. And tomorrow morning, let me announce this right now. Tomorrow morning live, I will be doing a episode tomorrow morning. I will have a guest on tomorrow morning. Here we go. Let me read who the guest is. His name is Chris. I can't say Chris's last name. I'm sorry, Chris. I can't announce your last name. But here we go. We got Mr. Chris Prefontaine, what it sounds like. He's a real estate investor with 28 years of experience in the field and he's the founder of Smart Real Estate Coach. On average, he is acquiring 5 to 10 properties every month, and he has done around $80 million in real estate deals. Chris has also been a big advocate of constant education, and in 2018, he published the book Real Estate on Your Terms. On the podcast, he wants to focus on generating real estate wealth through investing, generating wealth through real estate investing without using cash or credit. So he's going to come on tomorrow morning and talk about real estate investing and using real estate investing to generate generational wealth without using cash or credit. So he's definitely going to be on. Big Al, that's my guy, Al Hallen Williams. He said, ready to get back and sit with you, Big Dog. Always keep it up, bro. You know what you're doing. All right, appreciate it, Al. Appreciate that. Profile picture's hilarious, too. Look how he's looking. Big Al. King Carter, how long did you ever hold a call option? Most people say 30 to 45 days max. Woo, it all depends. Okay, let's take my current situation I'm in right now. I'm in a heartbreak situation on my Uber call, my December Uber call that I purchased after Uber earnings came out and failed. Uber was doing good. I felt it was a 33 call, December 18th, I think it was. I felt like, okay, well, this could be a nice risk to take. What ended up happening was, you know, of course, judge in California came out. Political risk jumped inside, and since then, Uber and Lyft has slowly been on a downward trickle. August 20th is going to be their big day. They may have to leave California. The bad part about them shutting down in California, this could set a precedence to other states to do the same thing. What if New York takes this? What if Texas takes this? This could destroy the whole business model. Right now, if they can win this case, because they pretty much want to take Uber and turn them into a taxi cab company. So right now, I'm holding on to it. I'm watching the story. I have time. It all depends. What's my expiration date? Take this particular contract. I mean, it doesn't expire until December. So I have time to recoup. I have time for it to turn around if I still have a bullish indication on the particular company. And that's going to be dealt around. Can they get through their latest negotiation? Uber, if you're listening, Lyft, if you're listening, call me. I guarantee I'll negotiate something. $30 billion company, you think I'm going to let that go away? You're crazy. I'll figure out something. You better call a crisis manager or something, you know, with the workers and the contractors. Marsh Boy, hey, Prince, big fan. How do you feel about AMC doubling, and how long do you think it would take it to double? AMC Theaters? Are you talking about AMC Theaters, Marsh Boy? If so, right now, what I know of AMC Theaters, man. Okay, let me go ahead and get you guys and girls this. This is something you guys and girls are asking me back when the market crashed. When the market crashed in March, everybody said, Prince, you know, I'm looking at this new company, company rebounding. Ladies and gentlemen, some companies are not going to rebound. Some people are not going to make it to the other side. It's like boot camp. Every market correction, some companies die. Blockbuster. Dead. Pizza Hut, restaurant chains are dying. Some people are not going to make it through the other side. If you had a high amount of debt, you was unprofitable. When a hard time hit, you usually don't make it through to the other side. Or you usually end up piling on a bunch of debt to get through. A lot of companies don't make it through. AMC Theaters, I don't see them making it through to the other side. Unless somebody buys them out, they re-innovate with the COVID. AMC Theaters, movie theaters was already on the crust of dying anyway. This is just a death blow. It's that guy, you know, it's that guy who got punched. He was already falling and somebody gave him an uppercut, just giving a death blow. COVID is giving out the death blow, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think AMC Theaters, I don't think we're going to be watching movies and consuming movies like we did before. That's my take. So I will be very cautious of jumping onto something thinking it's going to be a rebound. Like airlines. I jumped on the airlines because I knew we were going to be flying on the other side of this. But are we going to be watching movies like this? AMC Theaters is already struggling before the COVID came. All this did now was push companies to do Coming to America is supposed to come out in December, which was a huge movie, Eddie Murphy and them, right? Now with the COVID going on, guess what they're going to do? Something I figured I never could process this. Why are people still releasing movies in theaters? I understood why, because a lot of these movie theaters had deals with the movie production companies. So they had to give them, they had some type of deal to where they had to put it in theaters first. But I knew the market was going to get to a point, because you know what? I'd rather pay $60 to watch a movie from my house. How many of you guys and girls would rather pay some type of fee, a high fee, if I get up and go to the movie theater and get the popcorn and get the soda, all that stuff like that? The movie ticket may cost me what? Movie tickets was costing what, 10 to 20 bucks a piece, right? A lot of them did turn into lounges. That was very nice. 10 to 20 bucks. I would rather just say, hey, tell my wife, hey, instead of us paying $10, $20 for the movie and then getting popcorn and getting all dressed to go down there, how about we just pay $50, prop our feet up, order a pizza, or pop some popcorn, and watch it from the comfort of my own living room? That's me. How many of y'all would pay for that premium? That's why I'm not crazy on AMC Theater. I don't know if they're going to make it through the other side. The only companies I'm trusting, are you essential, and how are you doing before this happened? Oh, okay. Let me get in here. Let me see. There you go. Price is paid. What you get. Facebook's, that's what I do. I appreciate that. It is far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than to buy a fair company at a wonderful price. Buying a great company at a wonderful price versus buying a, I'm getting mixed up. It's far better to buy a wonderful company, a great company at a fair price, than to buy a fair company at a wonderful price. Overpaying for a fair company. I believe Amazon right now is a wonderful company. LK Raw, what's going on? I know this is not meant for meant, but okay. I know this is not meant for, but I purchased call options 1 and 2 years out, 30 to 45 days, 1 to 2 months seems like the average, especially for the most more expensive stocks. Yeah, 1 to 2 months. Unless you're playing earnings or something like that. These stock splits are the perfect time for everyone to build wealth for our children. I really hope everyone is paying attention and taking advantage of this. I hope so too. Beautiful picture, by the way, man. I love to see the proud dad. I love to see men taking care of the children, being husbands to their wives, being great families. Now, I'm not saying you got to be perfect. I'm far from perfect. I try. I try to get better. Hopefully I can. I got to ask my wife if I'm getting better. I like think it sometimes. But try to do your best. The best thing I can do for my son, I can do all this investments to be a dad, right? I'll give him 1 second. 1 second.
There we go. There we go. What time tomorrow? 10 a.m. tomorrow. Mountain time. So it'll be 12 noon tomorrow. Noon tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Noon tomorrow. He will be on the show. She said, love my investor show mug. Starting to learn day trading now. Thanks. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about a little day trading. Go back and watch my Oliver Les episode. Investor Show Mugs. Cheers to Joyce for getting her Investor Show mug. Now you're going to become a genius at day trading. Woo! Get y'all Investor Show mug in the description box. Proud Dad said, I don't understand how AMC is charging $30 for popcorn and did not have a large amount of cash on hand. That's the only way they make money. A lot of them don't make money from people coming to the movies and watching a movie. That the ticket money kind of goes to the movie theater from what I was saying in the business model. They make all their money off of the juices and sodas and stuff like that. You got to pay the workers. You got to put the lights. It's a large overhead. Think about all those rooms. Just think about the light bill for a movie theater. Then think about the employee. Then you got to pop all that popcorn. You got to order that popcorn, all that stuff like that, right? So that's why I wouldn't be too crazy on them. They may not make it to the other side. Amazon brought AMC Theater some months ago, so some folks are interested in the stock. That's very true. I did see them doing that. They were looking at turning theaters into fulfillment centers. Amazon pretty much is creating its own post office, and it's taking the movie theaters and turning them into fulfillment centers, pretty much their own little post office. That's a pretty good idea. I got to look into that one. But now it kind of boils down to opportunity costs. It's not that you're a bad, but how do you fare up against my other options? It's not that Forrest is bad, but how do you compare it against my other options? That's why knowledge is so important. There's some things that I did in the past with money that we all probably done with money that I made mistakes in the past because of what I did not know. Not for what I knew, but for what I did not know. So I can take a big gamble on AMC, or I can just get Amazon. If you don't have $3,000, if you have Robinhood, if you have M1, if you have TD Ameritrade, they can let you get slices of the companies. Now they let you get fractional shares, right? So I agree. Sometimes it ain't about some of the best investments you can make is things you say no to. Just by sitting on the sideline and waiting, you can save more money than try to jump into everything. And telling yourself, I'm leaving Amazon, AMC alone. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. He said, with movie theaters declining, Netflix and Disney Plus are going to be in high demand. Yes. Netflix, you know, Disney owns ESPN. Disney owns, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Disney pulled all the stuff off of Netflix, got his own streaming service. Yes, more people are going to be home. You know, think about it. If I was to come out with a documentary or a movie on finances and they said, Prince, do you want to release it through theaters or do you want to release it online through Netflix? I'm going to go to Netflix. If I had to market and advertise, 10 years ago, a YouTuber was laughable. A podcaster was laughable. Instagram, whatever, influencer was laughable. Now that is the number one way people are advertising products now. The world has changed. Just a year ago, here I am in my basement doing a podcast. People look down upon it. Now, all the people at Fox Business, all the people at Yahoo Finance, all the people at CNBC, all the people at Bloomberg, guess what they're shooting at? 90% of them are at their house shooting in their basement. And now they're stretching their head. Do I really need that big old studio? Do I really want to drive all the way to that studio? The world has changed. I remember when I very first started YouTubing in 2013, RIP to my uncle. I was at his house in DC and I said, hey, uncle, and I think I probably had 4 or 5 subscribers. I said, hey, look, and I showed him my first YouTube video. My YouTube channel was called Royal Financial Investment Group. He looked at me and said, man, what are you doing? I said, yeah, you know, one day when I retire from military, I want to do this. He said, man, what? Now, he was like 60 years old. He looked at me, you crazy. You better be worried about your military career, right? And it kind of hurt my feelings because I thought he was going to be excited to see me on the internet or whatnot, but he looked at me like I was slapped crazy. It made me work harder to put a chip on my shoulder that I wanted to show him. This was back when YouTube wasn't really that cool. Back in 2013, it was around, but it wasn't around like it is today. Now YouTube is pretty much television. Podcast is like radio, right? Now, nobody's going to record stores buying CDs no more. Who's printing up physical copies? Nobody. He said, did I miss your show about buying calls and options? I've done some tutorials, and I've done some things on calls. I told everybody about not a calls that have done very well for me. I had a couple of them. I can't remember all of them. But the big one that's doing very well for me that I'm holding on to now, I had a $400 June 2021 call, 400 strike price. Apple was trading for like $300-something when I brought this call option. And I did not expect, I predicted that Apple would be over $400 by next year. I didn't think it was going to be like in a week or two. They announced their split. They had banging earnings. Thing jumped over $400. I'm up like 80% on that particular call option. So that one has been very good for me that I'm still holding on to, right? I'll probably hold on to that one. But since it don't expire until next June, I'll probably hold on to it for a little while. But that one was very expensive. It cost me $3,000 per contract just to get in. So I couldn't get that on a smaller portfolio, but you know, it's done very well for me. Amazon burned me at the beginning of the year very badly. Amazon, if you remember, beginning of the year, Amazon did great, but they announced they're going to put $4 billion towards COVID, and the stock dropped. My expiration date was coming up. That one didn't do too well for me, but Uber did well for me. I had some on Uber, some other companies. I can't remember them all, but they've done pretty well for me. But the two right now that are the yin and the yang is my Apple call and my Uber call. Dante Langston, what about the 5G stocks to look into? All right. When I think of 5G, I think of Verizon. I think of Verizon when it comes to 5G. What was the other big one? I think it was TTD. Don't quote me on that one. You caught me off guard with that one, Dante. I've had to do an episode on the 5G. I got to do the episode on that one. What was the 5G company we talked about? It was something. I think it was TTD. I'm going to do a 5G episode. Everybody's on the gold and silver right now. So Marsh Boy says, so I'm a guy that tried to make $5 to $20 when I get in and out. So do you think Apple stock split is that, you know, or is that, and I need to get in if I'm looking for quick profits? Okay, so if you're on the day trading side of the house, that's more like day trading. If you're trying to get it for the day, if you're trying to get a quick profit for the day, I can't really say for the day. How much money do you have? If I'm trying to pick a stock to go for the next day and I'm trying to make $20, you know, how much money are you talking about? You're talking about just buying Apple, just one Apple share and what, waiting for it to go up $20? $20 on an Apple stock, you're going to need it to go up about, what, 5% in a day or something like that or whatnot? But if you have $20,000, you only need to barely move. So it depends on how much money you got. And now you don't want to look at the fundamentals. You're more of a technical. You need to look at the technical data. What you need to be looking at is more of the charts. You know, you need to be looking at charts more than the fundamental because you're looking for an in and out of a day. That's more of a technical person. LK Raw, are you ever going to do a stock of the month for us to look at and potentially buy? Oh, I like that. Stock of the month to buy stock options in. My stock of the month right now I really like is I believe if Uber can figure this out, they're going to explode to the upside. They're going to gain back what they lost if they can figure this out, if they can win their appeal or something like that. But if they can't, it's going to be ugly. It could start a downward turn. I like that. Stock of the month. I'm trying to find my pen. It wants to roll off my desk or something. I like that. Stock of the month. Oh, you have $1,000 and you're trying to make $20. So you're looking to make 2% return on investment with $1,000 with buying. Okay, so you can't be a day trader because you're undercapitalized. Your quickest way to be able to make that is via option trading. You could go Forex, but in the market, if you're trying to make money every single day, you're someone who's trying to create money, not create money. I mean to say make money. You're not trying to grow money. You're more concerned with making money, earning money. If I had $1,000, I was trying to make money, I would do option trading and no more than $200 per trade. Well, in your case, if I only had $1,000, maybe you can look at a cheaper stock like a Uber, maybe some calls or puts on some of the airlines. You may be able to play some of them. That can make you a little money there. Another one, you can trade, you can buy and sell on the index, right? Like a SWPPX, you can buy a call option on the S&P 500 or SWPPX, maybe a call or a put, something like that. Or on a leverage ETF, if you really wanted to move, maybe you can buy a call or a put on TQQ, Tango Quebec, Quebec. And, you know, if the stock moves, you can move easily 5 to 6% in a day, and that'll get you your $20. But that's very, very extremely risky. Because when you buy a call option, what makes it very risky is when you buy a call option, what makes it very risky is the expiration date. you might want to go with leveraged bullish ETFs. It all depends. Call options are at the most riskiest, but the most riskiest is a call option on a leveraged ETF. That's the most riskiest. Then you got a call option itself because it got an expiration date. Then you can do leveraged ETFs. Just buy, you know, SPXL, TQQ, in and out every day. You can do that and get 1, 2 to 10% a day. And another one you can do is the most, you know, just pretty much buying a particular stock. But if you brought with $1,000, you only can afford 2 shares of Apple. And to get $20 out of that, you're going to need Apple stock to move, you know, 5 to 6% in one day. And that's pretty rare. Apple mostly moves 1 to 2% in a day, you know? Clarence out there in Bahrain. What's going on? That's my guy, Clarence Duncan. What's going on? But I hope that helped you out, Marsh boy. As you can see, I'm a newbie. I only use Robinhood app. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's new. You know, you're doing the smartest thing. You're tuning in and you, okay, if you're a newbie, what I'm going to tell you, you got a Facebook page, follow financial shows. Follow the big media stuff. Follow Yahoo Finance. Follow CNBC. Follow Bloomberg. Follow Fox Business. Follow financial bloggers, right? People that blog, people like myself who talk about finances. Get different perspectives. You're going to have people that are big day traders, people that are big on real estate, people. So every time you open up your phone, your Facebook, I don't see craziness. I see other people talking about finances. I open up my Instagram. I see other, majority of the time, is other people talking about finances. If I open up my apps on your app, you should have the Yahoo Finance app, the CNBC app, the Bloomberg app, the MSN Money app, right? All those things you are in, not saying that you got to be in it every day. If you want to be a day trader, you better have all that stuff, right? And that's the way you can shape your mind. So you wake up every day. You can, if you got an iPhone, pick up an iTunes and go look at and subscribe to the Investor Show. You got to have an Investor Show, but subscribe to other podcasts. Subscribe to financial podcasts that you can just, while you're cooking, you can hit the play button. You can learn different things. Other day traders that are out there, watch them, listen to them, and you can learn a lot. And add it to your smoking pipe. What kind of option did you say on SWPPX? I love SWPPX, Miss Joyce. Smart lady. Think about it, right? Miss Joyce sit here and buy the SWPPX and probably forgot about it. She's like, I heard Prince brought up the SWPPX. I don't even know what that is. I get it because it's only $20, $30, $40. Now look at it. You turn around now like, man, I'm getting dividends. This thing is going up. And I ain't got to be that smart. Versus somebody who's trading, day trading every day. They're finding themselves to hurt themselves. All right? So, y'all, let's do a quick recap of today's show. I enjoyed talking to y'all. Let's do a quick recap. We talked about the mortgage industry. The mortgage delinquencies spiked. Let's pull it up. This was put out by the Mortgage Bankers Association. They said for the second quarter, they've seen an increase of 8.22% of people being delinquent paying their mortgages, right? A lot of this is due to unemployment being at 10%. The next thing we talked about the digital dollar. When we talked about the digital dollar, this was put out by the Federal Reserve, the people who control our money, the federalreserve.gov. They talked about people who, they talked about creating a digital currency. If a digital dollar comes out, what's going to happen? The Federal Reserve is talking about creating a digital dollar. If they create a digital dollar, what's going to happen to the value of all the other cryptocurrencies? Are they going to go up? Are they going to go down? I believe, my personal belief is that I believe 90% of them are going to wash away. I believe 90% of cryptocurrencies are going to wash away, and it's going to be like Bitcoin, maybe the US dollar, maybe something else, right? And I believe the dollar is halfway digital anyway. We're halfway there with it anyway. The next thing is, what's the next big company I think is going to do a split? Amazon. I think Amazon is up on the table for a stock split, maybe probably like a 6-1 or 7-1. And Amazon has split 3 times in the past, but that was over 20 years ago. We talked about Forex. Everybody came to me bringing up Forex, foreign exchange. There's been a big market of people trying to get people to do Forex. We broke down Forex, talked about Forex. What does it look like for a new person getting into it and things like that? Staying focused. Then we talked about the COVID-19 vaccination. My wife came to me and said, Prince, we should invest into the vaccination companies that are going to make the vaccination. I'm like, I would love to, but I don't know who's going to do it. Every week is somebody new. It's this person, then it's that person, then it's this company. It's almost like marijuana companies. I don't know who's going to be the big boy. Who's going to be the first to come up with the vaccination, get it on the market, get it approved, and make the billions and billions of dollars? I don't know which one. I know a lot of people are trying. What I'm supposed to do, just buy a bunch of random companies and hope somebody picks it, right? No, so I just rather stay away from it. I'm not smart enough to do it. I can't pick it. I wish I was better. Maybe one day. Yes, so option, a call option. We can do that on another episode, Miss Joyce. She said, yes, indeed. Titus Wilson, what's going on? He said, what's up, Prince? Nice profile picture. What's up, Prince? Checking in late. Catch it on YouTube. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's going to be on YouTube. All these live episodes play back on YouTube and Facebook, even on the podcast. So this is on podcast, on Facebook, YouTube. I haven't really integrated this with Instagram yet. I put stuff on Instagram, but I haven't got it in there all the way like I want it. All right. Marsh was said, I'm not necessarily saying I'm a day trader. I can let my money grow for about a year, nothing more. But when I see that I made a profit, I like to get it out quickly. What kind of account do you have? Do you have a Roth IRA, an individual brokerage account? If you got Robinhood, you probably got an individual brokerage account. The thing about taking quick profits is you're increasing, if you have a regular brokerage account, you're increasing your tax liability at the end of the year, right? So if you're trying to grow money, forget about it, man. Let it grow. Let it grow. You brought Apple, good on you. Let it grow. You brought Microsoft, let it grow. Stick with your for sure though companies, man. Take it from me. I'm the guy who did that same stupid stuff. I had a call for 300. I had a call option. Apple was at 280. I had a call on Apple for 300 going to December. I mean, I wish, God knows, I wish I made a nice little chunk. I sold it, right? Wish I would have kept it. But you need to keep a core of your portfolio that you're going to keep no matter what, right? Keep a core of your portfolio. Don't try to get in and out of everything. Don't try to finesse everything. Just let it grow. Have your boys you're going to let grow. Then have a little side hustle for stuff you're going to get in and out of. Son, Dita, whatnot. I guess that's how you said. Kita. Invax was killing. That sounds like a crypto. Not a crypto. That sounds like a pharmaceutical company. Right? I'm not a crypto company, sound like a pharmaceutical company for what you call it. And usually when somebody kind of like, oh, the whole thing will run up, right? King Carter, see, there you go. You pay attention, King Carter. He said, PIL did go up 4% today. Yes, PILL, that tracks the whole pharmaceutical bearish industry. So every time a new vaccination somebody goes up, it'll run up too, right? But it's a leveraged ETF, you shouldn't stand in long enough. Mr. Amir, what's going on? I appreciate this financial economical empowerment program. Appreciate it, Amir. It's my guy, Amir, right there. I'm going to be on his show on Friday. Friday, I'll be live with Amir. Tomorrow morning, we will have Chris Profane, the real estate guy. He'll be on here live. Wednesday, Thursday, we had a chief branding officer for Acorn will be on, and I will be on Amir's broadcast on Friday. All right. Lance Morgan says, checking in from Cali, learning a lot from your channel, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. I already knew that, Sundial. She's a coronavirus company. I knew it. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this episode. I thank you guys and girls for tuning in to me. And for if y'all haven't done it already, I need y'all to make sure you go ahead.
Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button.
And grab your Wesley Learns book series and your Investor Show mug. And I definitely appreciate it. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and call it wraps for the night. I thank y'all for tuning in. We did a recap. He said, thanks for your time, bro, and your advice. Good night. Appreciate it. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy y'all see me do around the globe, peace. Be safe. I'm out. Thank you.